Good evening. How's everybody doing? How's this heat going for everybody?
It's awesome.
Isn't it awesome?
It's so good.
It is so great. You sweat everywhere. I just got off a 3-hour call, so I'm ready to go. And that's the hard thing. You ever sit there for 3 hours in front of a Skype and not look at anybody? But you have to pay attention so much because you got to close your eyes and listen to the words because they might be saying something really important. Or the moment you fade out, they're going to ask you a question. So you can't fade out. So that's what I'm going to do today. If you start to fade out, I'm asking you a question. No. So let's review where we've been so far. First, you're saved. This is where most of Christianity stops. I'm saved, I'm good, I'm done. Please let me have the rapture. But this is not where, this is the doorway into the kingdom of heaven. This is just the doorway. You're saved, so you enter the doorway. It's like coming into a door and then you're standing there. Why would you do that? Come on in. Come on in. Do something. Grow. Do what you got to do. So how do I change what I've always done, thought? We are all addicted to something or some of the things we've taught about, and many things or the world's ways are some of the things we're addicted to. And we talked about science, receptor sites, resonance frequencies, all that stuff. We're not going to go through that again. Step one, repent or think a new way. Decide you want to improve your life by improving yourself. Just decide, I want to get better. Okay, that's all. That's the easy step. I just decided I want to get better. But with that, you got to take responsibility that maybe you had something to do with it. Number two, decide that a power greater than you, God, could remove your character flaws, and only true relationship with Papa God is this possible. This is a hard one for a lot of people, having a relationship with God when you had a messed up dad on this earth, or you didn't even have a dad. You had a mom as the person that was your dad figure. So this can be a tough spot for a lot of people. And I put Papa there because it's more, for me, a more endearing term instead of that God, judgmental God that I grew up with in Catholic Church. Because I was a loser and, you know, he was everything and I was nothing. And, you know, he so loved me that he gave his only son. Trust, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him through Christ Jesus. This is a hard one too. You got to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. Trust is hard. I mean, just trusting just your spouse, trusting your kids, trusting yourself. Trust is a tough thing. So God never leaves you, never forsakes you, never lets you down. You got to trust. Rule of resonance we talked about. You become who you hang with. Together we are more powerful than apart. But we all know if you're a coconut and if you're hanging with coconuts, you're probably a coconut. If you're hanging with good people, you're probably a good person. You are who you hang with. It's the way it is. If you want to change who you are, start hanging out in different places. Start hanging out with different people. And when you do that, when you feel comfortable in that new spot, then you're going to watch your life change because you can receive things coming into your life at that point. Step four, inventory. Made a fearless and thorough inventory of ourselves and our shortcomings. Isn't that fun? Write down everything that you want, you know, what I've done, what I need to get better at, those things that the Holy Spirit are bringing up. Write that inventory down. Because it has so much power when it's hidden. When it's in the darkness, it has power. But when you bring it into the light, you can actually do something about it. So the goal is to bring it into the light, write it down so it becomes a real thing. And when a real thing is there, you're like, I got to do something about this thing. But if it's always hidden in the dark, it's going to get you when you least expect it. Or it's going to keep getting you and you're not even going to know what's getting you. And step five, confession, drop the weight. Admit it to God, ourselves, and another person, like God doesn't know, ourselves and another person, the exact nature of our wrongs. Here's what I did. But you're only going to share that with someone that's also trying to grow or has gone through it before you. Not someone that's going to judge you. That would be foolish. Why would you share that with someone that's just going to judge you? And so many times in the church, if we're not perfect, there's a lot of people that love to judge because then they don't have to look at themselves. I'll judge you. That way I know, hey, I know I'm bad, but whoo, you are really messed up. I think I'll just talk about you for a while. Is that true?
That's what the evening news is about. I think it's why people watch it, so that they can look at it and go, oh, well, at least that's, you know, my life's not that bad.
I hear you. I mean, I think, like, the brain is a bucket with a hole in it. And all the good stuff just keeps pouring out all day. So your job is to keep pouring in good stuff, because you're watching CNN, constantly negative news, or MSNBC. If you're watching all this stuff on TV, all this negativity gets in there, and you start to think negative. And what you focus on, you become more of, and you feel more in your heart. So you got your job is to keep putting positives into your brain, into your heart, right? Step six, and this is where we're picking it up. Renew, or make new again, a new identity. This is when we actually start to see some real change. When we are entirely ready to have God, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, remove all these lies, all these shortcomings, all these things that's telling us that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not handsome enough, we're not able to do it, we can't do it, who am I to? The first question always is, who am I to, when you're getting ready to take that next step? Right? I mean, he's so consistent, if you will, that the devil, it's so consistent, that test is so consistent, that he even did it with Jesus. And when does he do it? When you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. H-A-L-T, halt. Hungry, angry. Jesus was hungry. He wasn't angry, but he was hungry. He was lonely. He was all by himself out in the desert. And he was tired. 40 days, not eating. Right? And then that's when Satan came. Okay, now he's susceptible. Now I'm going to test the boy. And what did he test him on? His identity. If you be the Son of God, if you be the Son. So how many times do we get tested with our identity? Right about the time we're getting ready to make that move. Who are you to start your own business? Who are you to make $1 million? Who are you to have this nice car? Who are you? And then what happens is, in our brain, in my brain, a program plays of all the times I missed it, all the times I messed up. And I'm starting to agree with the pro. Oh, yeah, who the heck am I? Who do I think I am? Why do I think I deserve this stuff? And that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not truth. But that's what happens, and that's what plays when we're getting ready to make a move, when we're getting ready to take that next step. Any conversation on that? Any disagreement on that? It's okay. We're all learning this together.
I must be hungry and angry and lonely and tired all the time, because it seems like that enemy.
Yeah, you're starting to piss me off right now. No, I'm kidding. But it's true. It's when you are most susceptible is when you seem to be attacked the hardest. Because that's when he can get you. And that's when those things that were hidden before, they come to the forefront. Those things you didn't want to deal with, they come to the forefront. And then what do you get to do? Either you dealt with them before, or you get to go around the mountain again. You're going to get to deal with them sooner or later. 440 or 400, you're going to get to deal with these things. So how long do you want to hang? And it seems like for me in my life, every time I wait and deal with it later, it's even worse. The pain is even worse than it was when, if I could have nipped it when I was this age, it would have been so much easier than trying to nip it at this age when the consequences were so much greater. Does that kind of make sense? At least that was me. So Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." What does that mean?
Yeah, let's break down.
What does that mean? That's right. And so evil is anything that misses the mark of God, right? Anything that doesn't measure up to what you're saying you're going to do. How many times in church is this done? Again, I go back to church. I'm picking on church. Brother, I will be there to help you. I'm going to show up at 6:45, and I'll be there. I'll stack them chairs, and I'll be there. Then 6:45 comes around. You roll over another time. You decide you're not going to go, and you don't call nobody. Which is the part that gets me. I don't mind if you didn't show, but I do mind you didn't call. Because when you made that commitment, you actually took it on as your own, so your job would actually be to find a replacement. Because it's yours now, right? But the next time we see the guy, it's, well, brother, you know, I had all this stuff came up all of a sudden, and I just couldn't make it. Oh, that's okay. Right. It's not okay. Because you just lied to yourself. You said you were going to do something. You made a commitment. You said you were going to be there. And now you're lying to yourself because you didn't do what you said you were going to say, what you're going to do. Now, how is that going to play out when you think you're going to be able to have the ability to lay hands on somebody and see them healed? But you lie to yourself all the time, so why should that even be true? You hear what I'm saying? Once the lie is revealed, it's time to let go of old self. So once you see the lie in who your identity is, it's time to let go of that old self. Things that identified you and gave you value in your old life. Some of these things I wrote down. I need this accolade, you know, praise of other people. I need this attention. I need this compliment so I can feel good about me. Or I do this because this service helps song work so I can feel good about me. I want this car, truck, airplane, and TV so I can feel good about me. By the way, look at this TV. Isn't it nice TV? HD, forget about it. It's got all this stuff. UHD, it's not even HD. But it's so I can feel good about myself. And the next slide talks a little bit about feel. So what should we do? How should we feel good about ourselves if it's not with this stuff or these accolades? How do we feel good about ourselves? Amen. So
that's where our, I guess, ultimate praise should come from. It's just training yourself to get there, I guess.
Okay, and the get there, what you're talking about is believing what he says about you, not what you need to feel good. Just feel good because he said you should feel good.
I would phrase it not because you are valuing the opinions of other imperfect beings. I mean, let's say
right.
You're all imperfect here.
Right.
I am.
I'm a little off, yeah. I agree. Because what happens when you do that? Because now you're a what do they call that? Not a praiser of men. You're a pleaser of people, not a pleaser of God. And when you do that, because of this service, help, song, work, car, truck, accolade, attention, and compliment that they pay you, there's a string attached. So all of a sudden, they have power over you. Because what if they don't give you the compliment? You know, you're in a room with, say, 100 people. 99 love you. You spend all the time on the one that don't. Right? Because, well, what's wrong? What's wrong, brother? The guy could just be a miserable dude. But we waste all our time on the one that doesn't because we want everyone to like us in that case. Make sense? So let's see what Colossians says. I used to call that galoshes. We'll go over those. Time to form our new identity. It takes time. It took a long time to form the identity we got now. It's going to take some time to reform our new identity and get it in our heart from our head. Does that make sense? It's going to take a little bit. Or you can have a revelation and get it right now. Remember, it's progress, not perfection. This is what we seek. If we're trying to get better, just that's good. I'm giving it a shot. I'm getting better. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. But, you know, I freaked out and I cursed. And I said 7 curse words. The next time I freaked out and I cursed, but I only said 4. Getting better. Getting better. Next time it was 2. The next time I only thought them. It's progress, not perfection. And we've got to reward ourselves for that progress, or else what happens, we will never measure up because we start to measure ourselves against the perfect scale, and no one's perfect here. And then you quit. You end up quitting. I can never do it. So, let's go to the scriptures. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto is the word epi, which means for the distribution of good works. Our job is to distribute good works. That's when we become saved, and we become his, and we become paid for, we become redeemed, our job is good works. which God hath before ordained or fit up in advance that we should walk, proves one ability in them. So we're supposed to walk in these good works everywhere we go. We show up, stuff lines up. We change the environment because we showed up, because that's the way he's made us. A predestiny for greatness based on choice, the choices we make. Okay? According, in harmony with, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. But I'm just an old sinner. But I'm supposed to be holy and without blame. Well, the word doesn't mean that. It means something else, right? What does this mean to me? It means I'm holy and without blame once I have Christ Jesus in my life. I'm holy because it's not what I did. It's the Christ over me. It's the robe of righteousness. It's what he did. So I'm holy and without blame, according to Scripture. This is a hard one because we beat the heck out of ourselves when we miss the mark. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined or ordained us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according, in harmony with, to the good pleasure of his will, choice. Colossians, and you being dead in your sins, what? What? Oh, that means we're going to hell because we're dead in sin. No. Means dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, reanimated co-jointly with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. He forgave everything. Up, and I write, up to this point. Well, you're saved at 16, and he's forgiven all your sins up to 16. But the next day, when you sin, you're going to hell. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of foolish. He forgave all. That word means all, right? And why I'm sitting on this is because we're so sin conscious that we miss the greatness of who we are and what he's done already. And we should just be God conscious. And then what we focus on, we get more of. Instead of, we focus on not wanting to sin. What are you going to do? You're going to sin. You're going to miss the mark. Subconscious focuses. All it sees is sin, 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 sin. Even though you say not sin, not sin, not sin. That's why the law was here, so that sin may abound. Right? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. And Moses, that's pretty good. Watch these. I'm going to write about 1,000 more of these things for pigs and what you should eat and what you should wash. And a lot of them had to do with hygiene and things like that because they were sound. But all turned into law. And because of that, sin abounded, right? So that we could see we needed a Savior. Blotting out, ex leofo, obliterated the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to his cross. Nothing's in our way. It's blotted out. It's obliterated. It's gone. Make sense? You guys are getting it. I'm just making sure we're getting it because it's a hard point because we haven't been raised this way. The only way to change truly is to accept responsibility that you did it. No victim, not mom, not dad, not my uncle. My uncle touched me wrong. My dad yelled and he was an alcoholic. My mom, man, she was never there. My environment, my government did this to me. My church, it did this. We like to find something to blame instead of knowing that it probably had to do with us. And if we have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus, maybe we can do something about it. Right?
Well, I think the point you're emphasizing is that your current choices, your current disposition, and what you're doing with your life can't be excused by things that happen to you in the past. Like, if things aren't the way you want them today, if you're still self-loathed, if you're still blaming somebody else for what you don't have, he's not saying that the things in the past that happened to you were your fault. He's just saying that you can't sit there and keep putting it back on those things. You've got to make some changes now today for yourself.
You have to make changes for yourself. And you can dwell on the victim place. Now things happen. Uncle does touch you wrong. Mom, dad is an alcoholic. But we don't have to follow that same path. How many times do we follow the same path as our fathers? Or you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're listening to you yelling at your son and you say, wow, that sounded just like Pop, my dad. And I said I would never sound like my father. But there it is. So that's what I'm kind of talking about. We have choice not to give this authority over us or not to give this power over us. We have the responsibility to change. What's that? And no, and that means we have the ability to respond. That's right. First conversion step, identity. We got to get this. Who am I now? Well, there's a few scriptures. John 1:12, Galatians 4, 6, and 7, John 15:5, Romans 5:12, and we'll go through them real quick. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Key point, he gave them power to become sons of God. He didn't say they are right now. There's two different words here. One's huios and one's tacton. One means children in Christ. One means sons of God. Sons of God walk in all power, dominion, and authority like the apostles started to do, like the shadows were healing people, like they'd lay hands. They were walking as sons of God. But we can also just get saved and be children of Christ. And then we are not giving the world, we're of no worldly good except for we got ourselves saved. I believe it's the most selfish thing. We got ourselves saved and then we do nothing. Yet I have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus, but I do nothing. That sounds selfish to me. It's time to get busy. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born of God. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But how many times say, I'm just a servant, I'm just no. No, he says, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And we do, if we read this book and we hang out with Jesus and we sit on Papa's lap, know all things. We know what we need to know through the Holy Spirit. I call you friends, not servants, friends. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're justified by our faith in what Jesus did, and we have peace with God. God's just putting me through a test. I mean, how many times I hear that? It drives me nuts. God's testing me. No, I have peace with God because God tests and tempts no man. But man is tested and tempted when he's drawn away by his own iniquity. That's what the Word says. Galatians says, and because ye are sons of God, weos, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that's where I came up with Papa. Abba basically means Papa. It's an endearing term, right? Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we're God's heir. We're a son of God. We're a friend of God. We're Jesus' brother. We're, as we talked about before, on the what do they call that? The table of your lineage. There's God, Jesus, us beside him. Not under him, beside him in our lineage. He's our brother. And we're joint heirs in Christ. What he gets, we get. What we get, he gets. Correct. Well, I see. I believe that every man was created for a purpose. Jesus was created for a purpose, and he fulfilled his purpose. He restored the relationship we needed with Papa God. But I believe we have just as important of a purpose to do ourselves. And I can't tell you what your purpose is, and you can't tell me what my purpose is. Only Papa can tell me my purpose, because only the creator of a thing knows the purpose of a thing. So everything in your life drives you back to relationship with God, because you got to have that in order to know you got to know you got to know who created you to know why you are. Amen.
And do something greater than him.
Right. Are we there yet? Some are. In some countries, I've seen it. I mean, when a buddy of mine, Darcy, picks up a mongoloid baby and the baby is healed right in his hands, he did something. God worked through him because of the man's faith. He was on purpose. I believe we have that power when we're doing what we're called to do. And very few men are called to do what he's been called to do. I mean, the guy was a clown in the rodeo. That's a nut job. So now what does he do? He preaches the word over in Muslim land. That's a nut job. Perfect. Paul was the worst killer of the Christians. But he was zealous about it. He was passionate. Paul was one of the best apostles because he was zealous about it and he was passionate. Right? Don't change who you are. Just change the way you do who you're doing it for. So many people I've seen say, change what you, who you are. Don't do what you're created for. Don't do what you're good at. You know, just how many times in that one church, they drag a cross up and down the road for 50 miles, and then they give up any of their worldly jobs where I believe they're called to make a difference. This one guy was a chef. He loved cooking. He was an awesome chef. He gave it up to drag a cross up and down the road. Lost his job, lost everything. Now he's flat busted and disgusted, hating life, but he's a Christian. Right? That's not right. He just had to change his focus, his direction. So here it is. Here we are. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Then we get the input. We program. There's our transformation engine from our heart and our brain. And output, we become this. Abundance within me, around me, abundance. Or there's always that struggle going on between the heart and the head. And we're in the middle getting pulled one way by the head, another way by the heart. And, you know, a double-minded man should expect nothing. When you get your heart and your head in alignment, you're a powerful person. Sons of God, first we must learn now living. We've talked about this before. What is now living? Anyone? Right now what? So how do we do now living? That's hard stuff. How do we do it? Any ideas? What's that? Ask him what?
What's next? Where's that next step? Where do I go? How do I place it?
Okay, so that sounds like future. Okay, today, now. What's God's name again? I am. Because he's now. He's always now. Every time through history, he's now. So the only time you can line up with Papa God is now. Right? That's when we have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus is now. The hardest thing is aligning in this now moment. Because I can do this because we're not in church. We tend to put one foot in yesterday in regret, and then one foot in tomorrow in fear, and as we used to say in the Navy, and we're pissing all over today. So you'll remember that because it's not politically correct, but its truth is that we're wasting the only time that we have power, which is the now moment. We're so worried about what we didn't do right yesterday, we're so concerned about what's coming tomorrow, we're afraid of it, yet the only time we have power is now. Right? How many times have you heard every pastor go, and that's why it's called a present, right? Because it's a gift. So the hard thing is lining up with now. We're going to talk about how do we line up with now. We are not what we did. We are who he says we are now. That's important. You're not what you did. Well, I'm just like my father and just like my father before him, and this is what we do, and that's just the way it is. No. That's a cop-out. Now I don't have to change because I'm just like my father and my father before him. And then you hang out with people that'll go, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. We don't say what we see. We declare the desired results. This is messed up too, because we've been taught that's that's lying. We don't declare what we see. Be realistic, will you? Be realistic. Wait, no. I create the future. Now, if you can get that you're a future creator, that you create the reality that's about ready to happen, and we know through quantum physics you do. We know through the word you do. You create the reality based on the thoughts and the expectations of your heart. Now living. How do I live in the now, this moment? How do I hush the buzzing in my mind? Is that true? I mean, I know it is for me. It's just constant buzzing. You try to meditate, and all you hear is, I can't shut this thing off. I got this to do. I got to do this. And then you start, okay, I'm meditating. I'm seeing God. But, I should be doing that. And all of a sudden, you're way over here again. The mind is the now power killer. When you're in intellect, you really don't have the power. The power comes from the heart. Too often, self-consciousness, anxiety, fear, fill in the blank, mental gymnastics play, and we miss the moment. Example, I know there was a lady in a wheelchair. I was told to go lay hands on her. I did not. Because what if she doesn't get up? What all these expectations, what if it just, I'll show God out bad. I'm not showing God out the way he should be shown up. And so I don't do what I was told to do. And I wasn't told to make her walk. I wasn't told to have her stand up. I was told to go lay hands on her and pray for her. That's all. But I had all these preconceived notions of what that had to look like. And so I missed my opportunity. Make sense? First key. Now, this is what we do. This is how we meditate. Breathe deeply in and out 3 times. This is for me. This is how I do it. This is one of the methods of meditating. Discussion, we did that. I'll get back to that. Generator, we've talked about this. Illuminator and the consummator. This is who, God's the generator, constantly generating power from the throne. Jesus the illuminator. He showed us how to walk in power, dominion, and authority. We are the consummator. We're his hands and feet, right? And notice they're all in alignment. And then if we do what we're supposed to do, the world can be it can be heaven on earth if we do what we're supposed to do, because we're the salt and the light. Shalom exists in that place. There you go. There's a little Jewish word for you. Shalom. And then we've done this before, but I'm going to go over it one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is only now. Pistis, belief with action. Again, faith is belief with action. Is, esti, makes up or consists of, the substance, hypostasis, essence or building blocks, of things, pragma, the word is matter, hope for, el piso, expected or bold assurance, the evidence, elihogos, proved, of things, pragma again, matter, not seen, blepo, looked on by the natural eye. So what is that saying? In the now, belief makes up the building blocks or essence of things expected and is proved by the showing up of matter not previously seen by the naked eye. That's how we create, according to the word. In the now, when you're in the now, belief makes up the building blocks or essence of things expected in your heart and proved by the showing up of matter not previously seen by your naked eye. Because if you keep seeing what's already existing, you're going to keep getting what you already got. Does that make sense? So if you can start seeing what's supposed to be there and then start declaring it and getting that in your heart, a whole new reality is being created because you have all power, dominion, and authority through Christ Jesus to do that. Make sense? Science, we did this before, says man's observation and expectations on the subatomic realm altered the outcome of the double slot experiment, proving that man in his consciousness interacts, controls, influences matter and its formation. What was a wave potential when acted upon by the thoughts of expectation of the heart of the observer became matter, as expected and where expected. So, quantum physics, experiment done thousands of times, and the Word are saying the exact same thing. We create the reality we live in. It's okay that if we don't like it, but it's not okay to advocate our authority. It's okay to say I can change it, but it's not okay to say someone else did it to me. Does that make sense? Questions on that? Step six continues. This is the steps of actually meditating. Learn to breathe before we react, or if in fear, it brings us back to now, peace, and love. See, I sometimes will react. Being Italian, I have a tendency to, every now and then, once or twice, I'll react. And there's no positive fruit from that reaction, because when I react, I'm lashing out, and it's an emotional negative thing that I'm lashing out. Why am I doing it? Because I feel like I've lost control. And in my family, I learned the louder you yell, the more you're in control. Is that true? No. But that's what my dad taught me. And he was always the king yeller, and he was louder than, a man would yell out the window and dogs in the neighborhood would shut up. I don't know. He was a supernatural dude. They were afraid. So three times when something comes up that's not something you want to hear, that's something that jazz you up, before you respond, when you're with your spouse and your spouse says that thing, and you know this next word coming out of your mouth is going to just put a nail right there. And the thing is, you can pull the nail out by saying, I'm sorry, but you still got a hole. The hole's still there. So why not say it? So one of the ways to do that, three times breathe, or walk rapidly outside like I do. Almost run, because I don't want to hear what's going to come out of my face. Because it's not going to be good, and you can't apologize for it. And it's usually something just to hurt the other person, for me. Step two, stop being self-conscious, the most selfish state. Well, I'm afraid, I'm a little shy. That's all about you. Who cares what people think? Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. David danced. His wife's all upset. Everybody's mad. The king's getting all naked out there. He didn't care. I wouldn't care either. I like that. The naked part. I like that naked dancing part. Step three, why worried about the future? Christians, we must understand Matthew 6, 25 to 34, to move into abundance. Yes. Okay, what are we going to do? Mark Twain said this, and we're going to go back to those scriptures. I have known a great many troubles, most of which have never come to pass. Is that a wise statement? How many times have we fretted and stressed and worried and the energy it took, and it was as if we just went through it, and it never happened. Wow. But we already did all the gyrations, all the stuff, wasted all the energy, got all the stress in us, and it never happened. Step four, focus on relationships without judgment. That's a hard one, because usually when people don't look like us, talk like us, and squawk like us, we judge them, because they can't be right, because they're not us. And we know we're the only right one. But if you look like me, talk like me, walk like me, oh, I like you. Right? Because really all people prefer others resembling themselves. It's called rapport. Really all people prefer others resembling themselves. Rapport. It's one of the tricks we learned in sales. You act like the person across the table from you, and they don't know why, but they just like you. If they're quiet talkers, you're a quiet talker. If they're a feeler, you talk in feel language. If they talk in think language, you talk in think language. If they're saying, I think I really understand what you're saying, you go, well, I feel like you might not. You guys ain't talking the same language. So you're a chameleon. And when it comes to being a chameleon, it's not for a sale, but so that you can find that commonality to give them what they need in God's word. That's how you do it with Muslims. I learned their religion, I learned their ways, and that way you have an opportunity, you've built the bridge, and then they just like you, they don't know why they like you. Because you look like them, you walk like them, you talk like them. They just like you. And then you have an opportunity. But that's got to be all not about you. Well, I'm just this way, and that's the way I am, and that's the way I talk. And then one quarter of the population you can talk to. The other three quarters can't stand you. Step five, to make the most of time, lose track of it. How many times have you guys done that? When you're doing the thing you love, you're painting, or you're singing, or you're doing whatever it is you love, you're writing. All of a sudden you realize it's been 3 hours, or you're playing video games. All of a sudden it's been 3 or 4 hours, and you don't know where all that time went. It's just like you get lost in it because it's what you love. It's what you're supposed to be doing, maybe, not video games. If we believe we have eternal life, then what is time? What are we missing when we allow ourselves to be constricted and ruled by time, when now is the only time? See, what is time? Just a bunch of now moments strung together, right? That's time. But if you focus on time, that means you're focusing on yesterday and you're focusing on tomorrow. But there really is no time. I mean, if you go back to Sumeria or some of those older cultures, time was circular. It started, went back, started at the beginning again. That's what that calendar's all about that they keep doing with December, whatever, 2011, world was supposed to end or whatever. It's a circular calendar. They believe it just things just start over again. I didn't say that. No. Not. I'm saying live in the now moment. Don't live in, you know, when I'm organizing my day, it's about no emotion attached to it, in theory. Wow, I don't live with you. Who are you? But I'm saying theoretically, that's the thing. Don't attach the emotion to it. Just do the legwork. But the only time we have whatever you have power is now. The only time that we have that power is when we lose track of time. We're in the now moment, in the now moment, in the now moment, in the now moment. That's a goal. Is that all right? Not all right. Keep going. You're an organizer, so go. Mm-hmm. If that's where you're supposed to be, stay there. How many times have I come into a party, for example, or I come into a gathering, and you're seeing somebody, and they go, "Hey, brother so-and-so," and you go up and you shake their hand, and they're about ready to tell you something, but you look past them to the next guy. Or somebody that might be a little more important that you probably should be talking to. And you miss the opportunity right here to talk to the person that was put in front of you that you should have been talking to in this now moment. But they weren't cool enough. So I've seen so many, come here, stand up. They go, you go, "Hey, how you doing, Rob?" "Good to see you, man." And you're looking around at someone else, right? That's what I'm talking about. You miss that opportunity. Or how many times are you really with somebody and you're sharing, and then all of a sudden all you're really doing is waiting for them to breathe so that you can interject your wisdom instead of just listening to them and what they have to say. I'm letting that soak in. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I'm just saying, do you understand where I'm coming from? Okay. That was a victory. Other option is eternal death. Perish to destroy fully. Eternal death. To perish to destroy fully. So we can have, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a part. If we believe we have eternal life, then what is time? What are we missing when we allow ourselves to be constricted and ruled by time? Now is the only time, truly the only time. Other option is eternal death, and the word perish means to destroy fully. Apolomi. Step six, if something is bothering you, move toward it. That's messed up. If something's bothering you, go toward it. because you're never going to be able to figure out, one, what it is, and two, how to combat it if you don't go toward it. And you give it so much power when you run from it. And then it ends up being in that hidden resources, hidden recesses of your brain, thank you, recesses of your brain, and it comes out at the most inopportune moment. Go toward it. Face it head up. Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am. I got to give you more of my examples. Okay, say I'm out and I'm at a bar and I'm with friends and I can go to bars and not drink. All of a sudden, I want one. I'm like, you know, no one ever know. These people, they don't even know I drink all the time. I want to drink. Now I got to go, whoa, capture that thought. I got to go, why did I want to drink? What's going on inside me where I felt like I needed to have a drink in order to feel better or get the edge off? What's going on? So you take that thing and you face it up and you see, why did I feel that? What was I? And you go toward it. You don't run from it. Does that make sense? Or why did I think I needed that compliment for that person? Because they get all mad. Well, I did this and they didn't do anything. They didn't say nothing back to me. Oh, so it had a hook in it. I did something good, but I expected something good back.
Or maybe it's
conflict. Running from conflict. You say that, why? Or a lot of people have perceived conflict, right? We've already perceived a conflict will exist if I say this thing, so better not say it. So then who are you being untrue to? Yourself. And that's not fair. That might have been that person's opportunity to grow. You didn't have to do it with hate. You didn't have to do it with anger. You just stated your opinion. You know? Anything else on that one? Because this is some stuff. And step 7, notice everything. We will then notice the only constant is change. That's a hard thing to do, is embrace change, because we're always trying to lie and keep everything the same, right? Anytime there's a change, it messes with us. It messes with our chi. We want everything to always be the same. But the only truth is that everything's always changing. Embrace it. Now, I say that like I can do that easily. I can't. I know the answer. Yeah, I studied, but this is a hard one too, embracing change, being okay with change. What's that?
Hard to get out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. And what is a comfort zone? It's a grave with no front or back, right? It's like a rut. You're dying in that place. But the only thing constant is change. And we're trying to stop our growth and stop everything and stifle ourselves to stay back into that place of supposed comfort, where we're actually putting ourselves in a bondage of sorts. Exactly. No, and that's a great point, John, because...
So I think that discourages people from change or wanting to know.
Or wanting to know new information.
That there might be something new.
That's it. Those shut... A lot of people... And I know when I was going through it, studying the Word, and I had everything in perfect position, and it all felt perfect, and it's all the little blocks are right where they're supposed to be, and then somebody would say something. Well, you know, tongues are for today, and this is why. Warning, tilt, nope, doesn't jive. Give me every book that says why tongues are not for today. I need to be right. If I'm not right, I'm going to have to change everything. Yeah, truth, and I'm agreed with it, because that's what we're like, and then there's never a growth. So we hang out with people that think like us and talk like us and walk with us and never challenge us. Yep.
And why are they also very different? When you look at the followers in the book of Acts, it said they had everything in common.
Yep.
They all believed the same things.
Yep.
But now we'd be like, oh, no, we don't need to believe everything
We don't. And that's why, you know, you've got to be a truth seeker, I believe. I'm passionate about seeking the truth. And a lot of times it doesn't line up with my old truth. But then when it all fits, you go, up. that's a truth. That's in there. Scott, so it changes everything else, I think. I was in India. And so I'm sitting in India, and I'm fairly bold when it comes to religion there, and I want to know. I said, so why is this cow so holy? I mean, I'm judging you, Jack. That's a cow. You got people starving on the street. Kill that thing and eat it, right? Why would we do that? I said, because you're hungry. Why would I kill what gives me milk all year round for one meal? I went, Well, you know, tilt. But I went, okay, I can see where you're coming from. At least I understood where he was coming from. Now, is it holy and sacred? The thing is with the Hindus, they've got like 12 different sects of Hindus. Some are very religious, and some are very engineering, and they're just a matter of fact. Hey, this is why we say it's sacred. Just makes sense. So. Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? No, that's true. That's true. Yep. So, review. What time is it, baby? Oh, it's. I appreciate that, baby. So, we're going through, we've just gone through all these. So I don't want to go through all these again. So, we'll start on step 7. Step 7. So we went through step 6, now identity, all that stuff. Any questions on that? There's scriptures in there over and over again about identity. You actually got to read them. And then when you read them, you got to eat them. And then when you eat them, you got to know in your heart of hearts that that's what it says. To know that you are a sinless person. What? Sin don't stick on your robe of righteousness. You may sin in the way of onoma. Missing the mark, not receiving the prize, but you don't sin as an offense against God. That makes sense? But that's against a lot of the teachings. But it says we're sinless now in God's eyes. I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not. You were. You're not now through Christ Jesus. You guys don't argue very much. So why is the declaring work? Why is declaring working in your mind?
Because I'm speaking truth.
Okay, you're speaking, and who do you believe when you speak? You believe yourself. See, that's what's powerful about when you're talking into if you want to say, when I do my identity statement, I speak it into a recorder so I can hear myself saying who I am. Because I could be in a weak moment, and I ain't believing none of that stuff. But if I hear myself saying who I am, I start to resonate with it. I start to remember. I start to line up with it again. And then, there it is. I'm there again. Because you believe what you say.
It's a really good way to just, you know, punch a devil in the nose.
You don't have to fight him. He's already lost.
Well, as it is written, the battle belongs to the Lord. That's it.
So if the battle's already the Lord's and he's already lost, who are you fighting? Mostly yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we are. Because Satan's lost. It's done. He's finished. He's the biggest liar in the world that he even has. He pretends like he has power, but the only power he has is the power we give him. Right? All power's been taken from him. He's got nothing. Of course, when the movie theaters show him, he's this giant steroid-taking monster with guns like this. No, I think he's like a little teeny nothing. I mean, we had Pastor Mom. She's like 4'9". And she's talking about how she takes Satan and puts him under her foot, which is about that big, and stomps on him because he's just a little nothing. He's a liar. And I got it because she's so little. When he's a little nothing. He's a liar. It's just, what do we believe? And that's our truth. And if we believe the lie that he tells us, we act on that lie. Right? Yeah, you got to be able to go somewhere else. Your brain takes over. And when I feel pain, and my true prayer every morning is to be able to feel less pain before I make a change. Because in order to stop drinking, I felt amazing pain. But I can take it. And that's bad. Because, you know, at first you're just upsetting people at work. Then all of a sudden you got a DUI. Then all of a sudden you're in jail. Then all of a sudden you're hurting people because you're hitting them and you're in jail. So how much pain do you have to take before you can make a change? So I pray for my life that I can feel pain so much easier, so I can be steered so much easier before it comes to that. Does that make sense? What else, baby? No? Anything from the Jewish sector? What's that? I have been to Israel. All the what? Yeah, I told you I got in trouble in Israel. I got in trouble all over Israel for doing stuff. I mean, eating cheeseburger. You don't eat a cheeseburger there because you don't mix you don't mix milk and meat, right? Yeah. So I sat down. They said, "What would you have to eat?" I said, "A cheeseburger." We can't do it. Give me a whole thing. I'm like, "Oh, God, come on, man. So under the law, I can't have a cheeseburger." So I said, all right. I'll have a hamburger. Because she said, if I sit over here, I could have a cheeseburger, which was like 4 feet away. It was in the goy section, the non-Jewish section, right? Well, they had that. And I was like, but I didn't have it. I'll take a hamburger. She said, "Okay. And what would you like to drink?" And I said, "A glass of milk." And I smiled. She was not happy. But I had about had enough because, you know, I was there during Shabbat. And during Shabbat or the Sabbath, they are not allowed to push the elevator buttons. So it stops on every floor. You know, I was on the 17th floor. So I'm, come on, here we go. And yeah, this is a lot of work. That's a lot of work. So. Got it. Well, I knew you were a little unorthodox, so. All right, step 7, repair. Humbly asked him to give us the courage to remove our shortcomings. How does this typically happen? So how do we ask him to take away these shortcomings? How does this happen? Trials, times change, times repent equals new fruit. Or trials, change, repent, new fruit. So trials, and then here's what usually happens. Trials, and then trials, and then wine trials, then wine some more, and then the same trial. But all it's supposed to be is trial, change, repent, think a new way, do a new thing, new fruit. Does that make sense? But we have to be right so bad that we're not going to change. Because we got to be right. So we get to go around again. They were so right, those Jewish people, when they're going 40 years in the desert to a thing that's supposed to take you 3 to 6 months to get to. But they would not change or repent. Thank God for Caleb and Joshua. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Exalt you. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. But, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. This is hard stuff, isn't it? What's the hard stuff you in this for you, baby? I'm putting you on the spot. Well, you're nodding your head up and down. Well, you threw Judy right under the bus, didn't you? That's not very nice. Man, she hit herself with a hammer today. Leave her alone. Why? Because? Got it. Okay. That's truth. I mean, I like that. That's truth, because you want to be right. Or you want to judge and be right. I added that part. Maybe it's wrong. I'm talking about me, not you. There you go. But, you know, this is true. It's really hard sometimes to walk in love. I mean, when we were asked to leave a church or to, it's easy to be right. It's easy to justify. The hard part is just loving them anyway. They're just folks going through the same stuff we're going through. Each person handles it a little different. Don't judge them. Love them. That's what I really work on all the time, is just loving them, because they're just people going through it like I'm going through it. And it's okay. It's no big deal. And you know what? If God wanted me there, I'd still be there. And if God wanted me here, he's going to put me here. And sometimes you're in a middle ground where he's growing you up to put you somewhere else. But don't think of that middle ground as a place that you're not doing nothing. Think of that middle ground as a place to grow up. There's something he needs you to learn about in this time. Get closer with him, because this is the time you're getting ready to be escalated to a new position. That makes sense? God's just not using me. He's just not using me for nothing. Get a closer relationship with him. That's the time. That's what you're supposed to be doing right there, because he's about ready to put you somewhere where you're going to need that relationship. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that opportunity in a situation like that, though you may not want to. Like, for example, the guy that cuts you off on the freeway, that just, Papa God bless him in the name of Jesus.
Well, you're working on it. All right. All right. Now, it's progress, not perfection. No, is that what you're saying? Anything that, for me.
You want more blessing, bless.
Exactly.
You want more cursing, curse.
Anything that evokes a negative emotion out of me is now in charge of me. It's got my power. If a negative emotion comes out of me because someone did, that person's in charge of me. And who allowed them to be in charge of me? I did. Right? And my family's the best at it. They know every button to push so that I can jump around like a little puppet. Right? And then my mother was always the greatest, because then when you finally, you're in Zen place and nirvana and nobody's getting you to jump around, don't tell me, mister, I changed your poopy diapers. I know you. Well, you did. I mean, what do you want to tell you? So moms, you know, they really know the buttons. But it's your choice to give up that power. It's your choice. It's my choice to go into that place of anger and being upset. And I choose really hard not to give anybody my power, because there's nothing positive in that place for me. Right? And we all know, right, but it's when we're faced with it, can we do that thing? Can we breathe three times? Can we walk out of the room? Can we, you know, think a new way? Can we not get angry? Because the truth of the matter is, half the time when somebody's screaming at you, it's not you they're screaming at. There's something else in that day that went on that messed with them, and you just happened to be standing there. And how about if you said with them after they finished screaming at you, hey, what's going on? That's not you. What's happening? That soft voice that calms everything. Instead of needing to be right, because somebody, hey, you didn't say all this stuff. Oh, yeah, watch me get bigger than you. and talk louder than you. And then the only person winning there is the enemy, right? Well, that was a slow one. Humble. What does it mean? Humble. Not proud. Not thinking of yourself as better than other people. Not thinking of yourself as better than other people. That's a hard one sometimes, right? We're all the same. We're all equal. It doesn't even matter. Christian, non-Christian alike, he created all of us in his likeness and image. So we're not better just because we have Christ in us. God sees us differently. But I would never say I'm better than you or I'm worse than you. A lot of times we do the opposite. We say we're worse than somebody else because they have a bigger bank account than we do. What's that?
Israel.
You mean Jacob or Israel, the country?
And
they think they're better than everybody because they are. No, seriously, they do have that uppity air about that J-A-P, that Jewish American princess. And they believe, and because of that attitude that they believe, it's so. I'm not saying they're better, but others serve them. It's amazing if you ever lived there or ever been there. Given or said in a way that shows you do not think you are better than other people. Showing that you do not think of yourself as better than other people. You know, only reason I'm better, if you will, than other people is because God says I am who I am. Now, if I stepped into who he says I am, then everyone else can be the same as me. They can all step into that same place. I'm not better or worse. I just choose to have this identity of myself because he says it. It's not about us. It's actually about God and other people, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, and might. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're just the conduit in between that makes it so. Since a key aspect of becoming a son of God is spirituality and learning how to effectively operate in the spirit realm and listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the unseen, this repair step focuses on self-healing, prayer, meditation, hope, assurance on God in your life, and faith, doing what you know to do even though the flesh or others would tell you not to. Humbling yourself. Common sense says, my intellect says, but I know my gut is telling me to. The Holy Spirit's saying. And that's how I have to really be humble to do that when I know. Here, example. One example was when we had all these properties. And I was supposed to sell these properties. I knew. It was in my gut. I knew it was time. Sell them. But the market's going up. Everything's going up. It's stupid to sell the properties, right? Then even the sexy voice of the Holy Spirit says, I think we might want to sell. And I'm, no, that's stupid. We lost $17.3 million because I didn't listen, right? And another time was just this merger that I just went through. I wanted to be right. They weren't giving me everything I wanted, and I wanted to be right, and I was going to throw it out. And I wanted to fight. See, a lot of times I need a battle. When it was a warrior need to feel great value, a war. So I'll create wars in my life. So what I did was I ended up having to step away, listen to the Holy Spirit, talk to my wife, get through that thing, and then find when we came back with a different attitude, they did give me everything I wanted. There was no battle because I wasn't allowing battle. I said, this is what it's going to be. There was no second choice, third choice. This is what it's going to be. And it was because I was in peace now. You can't make a good decision when you're not in peace. Does that make sense? So, trials. Why trials? Alignment with God so we can walk in power and purpose. The ongoing process. Trials. What time is it? 5 minutes. Okay, we'll see what we can get through. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that have suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, establish, set fast, strengthen, settle, build, erect you. So he's going to make us perfect. He's going to make us steadfast. We're going to be built erect, but we're going to have to do something. Blessed is the man that endureth or undergoes temptation. Again, temptation and testing are the same word. Putting to the proof or testing is what the word means. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you love God more or do you love yourself more? That's the question. A lot of times I have to ask that question because a lot of things I don't want to go through. I don't want to do them, but they keep popping up in front of me. And not only, but we glory, rejoice, and calm delight. That's another thing. But we glory, which means rejoice or calm delight, in tribulations, our testing also, knowing that tribulation, putting to the proof, worketh, fashions, patience, cheerful, constant endurance. So when we're put to the proof, it fashions in us cheerful, constant endurance. If we're not cheerful, if we're not happy, if you will, if there's not this joy coming in from inside you, we're not in the right place. I did this already, and I guess they want to see it again. I'm acting like I didn't put it together. Somebody messed this up bad. But this is the truth. We got the generator, the illuminator, and the consummator, right? But, and if we go all through it, we're a son of God down there. That's great. But we get to go through trials. Now, anytime a circuit is out of alignment, there's heat created in that circuit. In nerdism, in electricity, we call that I squared R losses, which is current squared resistance. And so I squared R losses create heat. When you go through a trial, there's heat. There's a burning out of that thing. You feel that you're in heat. How much pain are you going to allow yourself to feel before you get back into alignment and repent, think a new way? That's the question. Because you're not going to be doing no good for the body of Christ out here. You're not in alignment. This is where you do the good, in alignment. But it's natural. We all go through it. It's how long do we want to stay there? 40 years? 5 minutes. Our call. You know, they could have said that in the promised land. Oh, we're like grasshoppers. But you know what? Heck, we're well able. We can do it. I'm with Joshua and Caleb. Let's go. Could have said that. They didn't, but they could have. What, tell me what you mean.
So, if I
cross my own
driveway, I need to get back to my comfort zone. I need to stay in alignment, because alignment is growing me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in that growing, I don't like it, because I'm growing. I got to change. So, I head out to a trial, because at least it's comfortable there.
Oh, so you put yourself through your own trial. I got it. I mean, I can hear that. I mean, I've seen myself do that in my life where things are just too good. We'll say those words. You know what? Things are good. Matter of fact, they're just too good. Let's cause a little chaos. What's that? It's true, though, in my own life. Not consciously am I doing this, but it's almost like, who am I to have such great things happening in my life? Let's cause a little chaos. And we do. It is. It's all about you. No doubt about it. Or, yeah, you're like she was saying, she put herself in the heat because this is where she's most comfortable.
Well, that's not understanding the purpose of trial either. The purpose of trial is to sit there and help you understand what's not holy and godly within
yourself. So you can burn it out. That's right. But maybe you're not comfortable in that place, so you put yourself in here. It's not the purpose of the trial, but you just ended up putting yourself in a place of uncomfort or trial. It's not really a trial. It's a self-inflicted trial.
Well, there's a lot of people that are self-sabotage because they have such a fear of rejection and a fear of loss.
Fear of success,
so,
dude.
So they fear that, hey, if I have this thing, people are going to want to take it from me, or I'm going to get my hopes up too much and I'm going to be disappointed. So to avoid the disappointment, they self-sabotage.
And as soon as they said, I'm going to get my hopes up too much and I'll be disappointed, they're right. Because they create it, right? You're right, absolutely. But I like your point that you can create your own trials. This is saying that the trial happened from, you know, the external, from the internal to the external. You were trying to get rid of something and the trial occurred because of it. Any questions? I think we're going to stop here. Questions? We're on step 7. We're almost finished. Got a few steps left. And will we be here in 2 weeks? I'll still be in the country. I'll still be here, right? Yep. Yep, I'll be here. Yeah, I'll still be here. Yep. So we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, I'm here. And I appreciate your attention. Thanks. You're just happy.